couple things that inspired my message this morning I want to tell you about before I get to my message. I mentioned this Wednesday night, and Adam sort of corrected me, and so I called and got the straight story so I could share it with you again this morning. On Christmas morning, Adam and Chantel's tradition is that they read the Christmas story together before they open presents. And so Adam started reading the story and got to Luke chapter 1 and down to the second verse about this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And Anna, which is my 3-year-old granddaughter, pipes up and says, "Dad, hurry up and get to baby Jesus." Now, her mother thinks it was because that she just wanted to get to opening the presents. But her dad ascribed a more spiritual reason to it. He said she just wanted to get to the best part of the story. And so I'll let you decide based on what you know about Anna, which one you think is right. And then Patty and I watched a tribute to Billy Graham. And in that tribute was a sermon that he preached in New York City. And he told a story. I don't think I've ever heard this story before. But again, it led me to what I'm going to preach about this morning. He told a story that it took place in northern England. Small town in northern England, and a policeman was out on his night beat making his rounds, and it was dark. And he went down one dark street, and he heard a little whimpering. And he turned on his flashlight and flashed his flashlight around, and in the doorway of one store, he saw a little 7 or 8 year old boy that was crying. And he said, "Son, are you lost?" And the little boy said, "Yes, sir, I have no idea how to get home." And so the policeman started naming off different streets in the town, thinking that if the little boy could recognize a street, he could get him home. And he called off one street and said, "No, I don't recognize that. How about this one?" "No, I don't recognize this one." Mentioned several streets, and the little boy didn't recognize any of the streets. And the policeman said, "Hey, what about the church in the center of town? You know where the church is in the center of town?" And the little boy said, "You mean the one with the big cross on the top of it? Yeah, if you get me to the cross, I can find my way home. If you get me to the cross, I can find my way home." This morning, I want to preach on the subject, the way home. The way home. We read from John chapter 14. We were also there, part of it, in our Sunday school lesson as well. The events described in John chapter 14 take place just before the crucifixion. Jesus is and his disciples are still in the upper room. They've had the Passover feast. They've had the Lord's Supper as instituted by Christ that night. In a moment, they would be on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would pray and sweat great drops of blood and be arrested. He'd be led to the high priest and then the Pilate and the Herod. He'd be falsely accused, falsely tried, and then crucified. And he was preparing his disciples for what was to come. He was comforting his disciples for what will come. And again, this is not part of my message, but isn't it a blessed thought? Isn't it a blessed thought that God comforts us before trouble comes? He doesn't wait till the trouble comes. He gets us ready by providing his comfort, lets us feel his presence, lets us feel his power before that trouble comes. And so that's what he was doing to his disciples. He talks to them about his father. He talks to them about his father's home. He says, "That's where I'm going. I'm going to my father's home." And he makes them a promise. He says, "I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And when I get it ready, I'm going to come back and get you so that you can be where I am." And he said, "By the way, you know where I'm going and you know how to get there." And this is where we picked up the story in Sunday school. Thomas, not Peter, who normally voiced the questions for the disciples, but Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? If we don't know where you're going, how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, you know the way, because I am the way." The fact that Jesus said that "I am the way" implies that there were some that thought there were more than one way. And again, we touched on this in Sunday school. All religions are not the same. Only Christianity can get you to God. Everybody else advertises that they can, but they can't get you to God. Only Christianity can. But down throughout history, people have thought that they could get to God another way. Cain thought that he could get to God another way. God had instructed Adam and Eve and their two boys, hey, when you come to me, you got to come with a blood sacrifice. He made that abundant and clear when he made clothes to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness in the Garden of Eden. And I think he instructed them, hey, that when you come and worship me, you need to offer a blood sacrifice. Cain thought there was another way. He was a farmer. And he brought the best of his crops. And we can say, hey, Cain was a good guy. He did try to bring his best to God. But bringing our best to God is not good enough. Our best will not pay for our sin. Our sin has to be paid for with blood. Hey, that was true in Cain's day. It was true in Abraham's day. I mean, there were people all around Abraham that worshiped false gods. And they says, these false gods can help you find your way home. They can help you find your way to heaven. And of course, all those false gods had no idea how to get to heaven. They couldn't even talk. They couldn't even hear. The psalmist says, how foolish it is to worship a God that has eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear and feet that can't go anywhere and hands that can't do anything. How foolish it is to worship a God like that. It was true in Joseph's day. And when he was in Egypt, he could look around Egypt and see all the false gods that the Egyptians worshiped. And when God sent the plagues, many people don't realize this, but when God sent the 10 plagues on Egypt, every one of those plagues was attacking a god of Egypt, showing God's people that the gods of Egypt were all impotent, but that the Jehovah God, he was the powerful God. And it's still true in our day. People think that they can get to God in a lot of different ways. They think there's more than one way home. They think there's more than one way to heaven. And all those other ways involve us men doing something, being good, paying a price, associating with some group, performing some ceremony. People today say, hey, I can get home. I can get to heaven. All I need to do is lead a clean, moral life. All I need to do is join a church. All I need to do is get baptized. All I need to do is take communion. All I need to do is tithe. And the list goes on and on and on. And all of those things are good things. We ought to lead a good, clean, moral life. We ought to come and join a church. We ought to get baptized, not in that order, but we ought to get baptized, and then we ought to join a church, and we ought to take the Lord's Supper, and we ought to give back to God what's His. But all of our goodnesses, the Bible says, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. Amen. And all of our goodnesses will not help us find our way home. All of our goodnesses will not get us to heaven. Again, it's not part of my message, but I want you to notice what Jesus said about the other ways before we get to the way that he said. What did he say about the other ways? He said, first of all, they're lies. They're lies. I'm truth. Everybody else that tells you how to get home other than me, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. And who do you think is the biggest liar that's behind that lie? Satan. The devil. Oh, snooty face. He's the father of all lies, and this is the biggest lie that he's ever told man. You can get to heaven another way than Jesus Christ. He's a liar. And anybody that tells you that you can get home any other way than Jesus, they are lying to you. Number two, Jesus says, they don't work. They don't work. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can go out and you can try all these other things that people say will get you home and people say that will get you to heaven, but they don't work. You don't get home. You don't get to the Father but by me. And then he said, they lead to death. I'm the life. I am the life. I and I alone am life, the life. Not some element of life, but the life. You don't find life anywhere else. Every other way home, every other way to heaven leads to death. Leads to eternal separation from God. Leads to hell. God's way home is the truth. God's way home works. It'll get you there. God's way home leads to life and heaven and an eternity with God the Father. I don't know about you. I don't want to follow any of those other ways. I want to follow the way that's the truth that works, that gets me to life. All right, you got those 3 points for nothing this morning. Extra, thrown in, free of charge. Now, I have a 5-point sermon this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just buckle up. Here we go. I want to talk to you about the way home. The way home. The way home. Number one, it's a simple way. A simple way. No one can use the excuse, it's too complicated. No one can use the excuse, I don't understand it. The way home is so simple that Adam is preaching it to the children back there, and the youngest one that's back there, the little 4-year-old that's back there, can understand the way to get home. Amen. Because it's so simple. Here it is. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. There's none righteous, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin. There's something we owe because we are sinners. And that penalty is separation from God. The Bible calls it death. It's spiritual death. It's separation from God. And there's nothing that we can do to fix that. There's nothing that we can do to overcome our sin. Some people say, well, I don't sin. Well, you may think that, but let's talk. I think your preacher could help you discover that you might have a sin. And it might be the sin of pride because you don't think you sin. And so we could just start right there. But every single one of us are sinners. And we pay a price for our sin to be separated from God. And there was nothing that we could do to pay for it. Nothing that we could do to fix it. Nothing that we could do to overcome the gap that exists between us and God. But God loved us so much that when we were in that condition, when we were sinners, God loved us so much that he sent his son to pay for our sins. Amen. Jesus, we just celebrated his birthday. He came to earth. He lived among men. He was tempted in all points like as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. And then God allowed mankind to take his sinless, spotless son, nail him to an old rugged cross. And while on that cross, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, paid for every one of my sins. He paid for every one of your sins. He paid for every sin of every man that's ever lived, that will ever live. He paid for all sins on Calvary's cross. And the Bible says, if we believe that and receive that, he'll give us the power to become the sons of God. He'll save us from the penalty of our sin. He'll justify us. He'll make us just as if we've never sinned. He'll dress us in his righteousness. We can stand before God, not a sinner, but somebody in God's sight who has never fallen short of his glory. Again, not because of our efforts, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. The first verse that most of us heard, the first verse that most of us memorized, is a verse that tells us that truth in a very simple yet profound way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? How do I get home? How do I get to heaven? You remember the answer they gave him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We sang that song. The chorus goes like this. It says the same thing that little boy said in the story that Billy Graham told. The way of the cross, it's the way that leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. The way home is a simple way. Even a child can understand it. Amen. Nobody has the excuse, it's too complicated. I can't understand it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's a simple way. Number two, it's an old way. It's a way that was devised before the creation of the world. It was a way that was devised before man committed his first sin. It was a way that every saint in the Old Testament got home. It's the way Adam got home. It's the way Abel got home. It's the way Enoch got home. It's the way Abraham got home. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The way home for us is the same way that our grandparents got home. Amen. The way home for us is the same way that our parents got home. The way home for us is the same way for our children to get home. The way home for us is the same way for our grandchildren to get home. We sang that song, The Old Time Religion. One of the choruses says, it was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. And it's good enough for me. The way home is not only a simple way, but it's an old way. Number three, it's a narrow way. A narrow way. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Only one way home. Only one way to travel. Only one gate to pass through. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to get to heaven. It's only Jesus. Number four, it's a way that's available to all. No one is excluded from this way. No one is left out from this way. God wants everyone to take this way. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God invites all to take it. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will, may come. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm one of those whosoevers. I'm glad God didn't list names in John 3:16 or didn't list names in any other verses that talk about salvation. He used the word whosoever. Because if he would have listed names, he probably would have left somebody out. But he didn't list names. He put a word in there that encompasses every person. He puts a word in there that every person can know that they're invited. He puts a word in there so that every person know that the way home is available to them. He puts the word in there, whosoever. Every single person in this room is a whosoever. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every little child, if there's any in here this morning, every little child back in junior church, every little child in the toddlers, every little child in the nursery, every person in this building this morning, every person in this neighborhood this morning, every person in this state this morning, every person in the United States of America this morning, every person in the world this morning is a whosoever. And so it's a way that's open to everybody. And then number five, it's a safe way. It's a safe way. Once taken, there's no losing your way. The Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Jesus said, of all those you have given me, I haven't lost one. He said that on his last days on earth But I want you to know something. His record is still intact. He hasn't lost one. Everybody that's come and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, everyone that depended on what he did for them on Calvary, everyone that he's justified, everyone that he saved from the penalty of their sin, everyone is kept safe. Amen. Is kept safe by the Savior. He hasn't lost one. The way home is a safe way. So it's a simple way. It's an old way. It's a narrow way. It's a way that's available to everybody, and it's a safe way. So the decision is yours. The decision is mine. I made that decision a long time ago. I made that decision, I'll have to count, over 50 years ago, 52 years ago. I made that decision to receive Christ as my Savior. Many in this room could stand right now and they could testify, hey, I made that decision. I found the way home. It wasn't anything that any way that the world offered. It's the way that's talked about in this book. It's the way that Jesus talked about when he said, I am the way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here this morning and you're trying to get to God any other way than Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. You're not going to get there any other way. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to come to Jesus. Would you come this morning? Would you come right now? I don't know of a better day than the last Sunday in 2019 at the morning service to come to Jesus. Amen. The Bible says now, today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's a way. It's an old way. It's a simple way. It's a safe way. It's a way that's available to you. But you have to choose to come. You have to choose to come. Would you come this morning? Would you? I guarantee you, it'll work. It'll work. It'll work. No other way works but this way. I am the way. This way works. Would you come? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making the way home so simple. And I pray for every person in this room that's never received the way. They've never come to Christ. Father, please take off the blinders. Please take off those things that are distracting them from the cross. Like the little boy says, get me to the cross and I can find my way home, because on the cross the way home was purchased for us. And again, I pray for that one or two that might be here this morning that's never taken that way. Help them to see that Jesus is the only way that works. Help them to come to Jesus this morning. Please bless this invitation. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we'd fall in love with Jesus more and more and more and more every time we hear the gospel. Every time we hear what he did for us on Calvary. Help us to fall in love with him more. Again, Father, bless this invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.